radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
What's said outside the building? I mean, it has no impact on anything that we do. Talking never won games, expectations never won games. Good football and good execution win football games. So ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to. So the rest of it, honestly, it's a big waste of time for us to spend time on things that don't matter or that we don't control.
Hell yeah, Nick Caserio. You tell him. Take it one day at a time, one thing at a time. Control what you can control. Hello and welcome aboard the Gallant and George radio program on July 18th, 2024, a Thursday. Houston Texans training camp is underway, and Joe George is back.
I'm back.
After going Ted Cruz and leaving the city of Houston after Hurricane Beryl.
You could also say Lena Hidalgo. She left, too.
Yeah,
For a couple days.
Joe, I'm not focusing on Lena Hidalgo,
just
okay?
Ted?
She's a politician. I'm not focusing on Ted Cruz. He's also a politician.
Yes.
I'm focusing on you. Skipped town.
It's been 15 days since I've done a radio show.
Yeah.
So, how do you do this thing? I turned my mic on.
You did turn it on.
Which I was worried about that I would forget how to turn the microphone on. But I'm back. It feels good. I missed you.
Are you back because we were calling Skip Bayless yesterday and you heard about it?
Yeah, I heard Skip Bayless was in the running for my job.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be unemployed soon and ESPN doesn't want him.
We couldn't meet his salary requirements. We did try. We did offer him some gift cards.
I mean, he does make a lot more money than me,
so
typically.
So we stacked a lot of gift cards up, but
yeah.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. And football's back.
Football is back, sort of.
I mean, they're on the field.
I went out to Texans training camp this morning. It was breezy. It was pleasant weather. We heard from Nick Caserio. We heard from D'Amico Ryan. C.J. Stroud spoke. But guess what? For the most part, it's exactly what you would expect out of a practice in shorts. Nothing really major to focus on. I was going to come in and really slow build all my observations like this one. Hey, Joe, did you hear this about Joe Mixon? He's not wearing gloves.
Oh!
Must have been working on his hands this offseason.
Maybe he's just not playing in the cold anymore. Because, you know, Cincinnati sucks.
It is very cold up there at times. Also, Cade Stover. Did you see him coming into training camp?
Jacked?
No, also didn't wear gloves.
Oh.
Clearly worked on his hands this offseason.
I saw Will Anderson jacked.
Will Anderson jacked.
I know the answers to one of your questions. I only caught one of your questions in the car yesterday. Which person will keep the most nerdy stats?
DJ Bien-Aimé fell on the sword when I asked him that point blank at training camp today. He said, yeah, it's gonna be me. Just like that.
Look, man, I'm back. I got friends. I love them. It's Wex. It's always Wex. He's always the nerdiest of nerds.
Oh, wow.
He'll admit it, too.
So yesterday, in case you missed it, we had the five biggest questions for the Texans going into training camp. And the fifth and first questions, they were the least serious ones. Number five was, who's going to be the biggest dork out of practice keeping stats on who's throwing for X amount of yardage and X amount of attempts and X amount of completions? And question number one was, who's going to be the first person to zag on the Houston Texans? Guess what? We'll play audio of that later in the show. Someone finally did it.
Someone zagged.
We have
big zag.
A big-time zagger. Can we say that word?
You can.
I think we should say the word zagger. I know. It sounds like another word. We're not trying to say that word. Stop.
Yeah.
We're not Randy Marsh playing Wheel of Fortune on South Park.
Yeah, I was surprised on who it was, too. I was a little surprised.
I wasn't that surprised by it, but we'll play that later on in the show. I don't want to dive too much into Houston Texans training camp. There are other things to dive into, and Joe, over the course of the remainder of this show, we're going to get your takes on all the things you've missed over the last 23 days.
Yep, that's what it feels like.
I mean, it must be nice. Middle management Joe has all these vacation
days. Well, to be fair, I was here for three of those days.
I mean, the audience doesn't know that.
I can confirm, we were watching Bar Rescue together for at least two of those.
Oh, you were there? I didn't know. I was so focused on John Taffer.
You were so focused.
Right, and on just how these bars actually exist in the first place.
Yeah, how gross they are.
Oh, God. I feel like if you watch Bar Rescue, you're going to have a really difficult time going to a restaurant.
Especially
ever
the
again.
Food.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the food.
I really don't want to see how food at a bar is made.
Cross-contaminated.
How the ice might have some specks in it and what that specks might be from, whether
yeah.
it's someone chain-smoking behind the bar or it's just some slime in the ice machine. Don't want that.
Yeah, don't want that either. But they were so the Texans are back on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that football's it doesn't mean a lot. But it gives you the vibe that football is almost here.
The finish line is within sight.
But yes.
We still are, Joe, 49 days away from the start of the NFL season.
But we're like, what, less than 30 days away from the first preseason game?
Yes. The first preseason game, I believe, is in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
the
like
Hall
the first week of
game.
August. Yeah.
So I forget what day it is, but yeah. Preseason football's right around the corner. And guess what happens when you watch the first preseason game? You see two series, and then you say, damn it, I want real football.
Except for this one, it's going to be even worse because they played the extra preseason game.
That's true.
CJ Stroud might play four plays.
He won't play at all.
And then it's time for Mills Mafia.
And Caleb Williams is going to play. And Caleb Williams, for those who don't know, is trying to rework the collective bargaining agreement for the NFL by creating all sorts of new wrinkles with this contract. Like, please don't franchise tag me at the end of it. And also,
so I can leave.
He was trying to have it paid to an LLC so that he wouldn't have to get taxed.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I respect it.
He's outside the box, man.
He is very outside the box.
His dad wanted ownership stake in whichever team drafted him. You know, he's an outside the box thinker.
Painted fingernails.
Yeah.
To you know, someone who's open to a good cry with his mommy.
Yeah.
In the stands. So, if you want to talk about Houston Texans training camp, you can at 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on YouTube as well. At ESPN Houston, Desert Stroh says, I was promised skip on today's show. Well, guess what? Joe George can be skipped.
I mean, look, I got bad takes. So.
You've had 15 days to stew on one. You want to just plop one right on the table to open up the show?
I don't know if I have one that hot.
Come on, just give me something.
The Astros are going to still win over 93 games this season.
Ooh, I like it.
Boom!
Okay, why? Thank you, Austin Rodriguez. They gave it some crappy times.
Yes, because they're going to get healthier, even though, you know, Lance McCullers is missing in action.
They're going to get healthier. Forever. Wow. See, all right, that is Skip Bayless to my right. They're going to get healthier.
They're going to get healthier. Step one.
Okay.
Oh, we just got the Astros 2025 schedule.
Yeah?
Yeah, they open the season at home versus the New York Mets next year.
Why didn't we open up the show talking about that?
Well, because it literally just popped in my email box 3 seconds ago.
Gotcha, okay. Do you think the station you used to work at, which randomly hates the Texans on a level that I find to be comical,
yes.
Do you think that they're going to ignore training camp day one and actually do a game-by-game discussion about the Astros schedule this year?
Probably.
Oh,
right. It sounds about that's on brand.
I like it.
As they would say. Yeah, yeah, Astros still going to win over 93 games this season.
Okay, wow. And because they're going to get healthier.
Because they're
going to
get healthier.
Even after all of the updates last week?
Yeah, I mean, those updates were, I was on my phone way too much while I was on vacation.
Yeah, I was too.
Because, I don't know, like the station was burning to the ground at times. But we're back on the air.
It wasn't burning
good.
To the ground. It just wasn't on the air. There's a difference.
Yeah. True. But, yeah, the injury updates were not encouraging.
No.
JV, McCullers, Garcia is all bad. Tucker is still the most confusing thing of all time.
I mean, Kyle Tucker, you might have missed this, Joe, but Andy Roddick called out Kyle Tucker because Andy Roddick mentioned a baseball player on his fantasy team that's been out for a month after fouling a ball off of his shin, and then mentioned that Novak Djokovic could play at Wimbledon on a busted knee.
I definitely missed that one. I did not see that one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Not great when a tennis player is calling out your toughness. Verlander seems to be promising. He did throw, 25 pitches on Sunday in a bullpen session. I think there's another bullpen session scheduled for this week.
Mm-hmm.
But that is really the big question for them as we get closer to tomorrow's first game against the Seattle Mariners. As excited as I was for Houston Texans training camp, which has now begun and was rather a dud, I am very excited for tomorrow's game against the Seattle Mariners.
If only it wasn't at 9 o'clock. I forgot about that. I looked at the schedule. I was like, all right, when do the Astros play? Oh, 9 o'clock.
My God.
First game back.
You're still in vacation mode, but you're also in sleepy Joe Biden mode.
9 o'clock on a Friday night.
9 o'clock on a Friday night. Joe, you're not me. You're not going out to the bars. You've got a wife and family.
That's true.
And a small child.
That's true.
You're not going out at
night. I'm also real poor now. So
you're real poor?
Yeah.
What happened?
Disney's expensive. Yeah.
Real
expensive.
Was Disney World as magical as you thought it would be?
Yes.
It was, okay.
Everything I could have imagined and more.
Have you ever been there before?
I have.
Okay.
But
you got to take the young man there.
Yeah, we did Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And it was incredible. It was everything I could have wanted. He was awesome, and he had so much fun.
That's great.
Big smiles. We met all the characters. He was great on the rides. It didn't rain until we were leaving, which is awesome.
That's great.
Like, it was pretty hot,
okay,
but I think that made it a little less busy, mm-hmm, even though we were there in July. But it was great.
Okay.
It was very fun.
So a Disney World stop, did you get a Mickey Mouse hat?
I mean, no.
You have assortment of hats.
I did not get a Mickey Mouse hat.
I think the Mickey Mouse hat would have played.
It probably would have. I mean, my wife got Disney. One. I'll wear it tomorrow.
Your wife got, will it fit yeah, your head?
Yeah. It's an adjustable.
A ladies? Oh, it's not.
No, it's an adjustable hat.
An adjustable Mickey Mouse
hat. It's like
Mouse
the one you're wearing.
Oh, wow. How about
yeah,
that?
So I'll rep Mickey Mouse tomorrow.
Some on the Twitch are accusing you of being a Disney adult, and that is not fair. Joe brought his child.
I took my child. It took my 3-year-old.
Have you seen Joe's teeth? He doesn't have huge gums.
Yeah.
The Disney people, no offense, they seem to have larger gums than most human beings.
That's your observation?
Disney adults, yes, they have larger gums.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with having larger gums. I just think on a per capita basis, mm-hmm, that people that are Disney adults,
you're just
have
like,
larger
Disney
gums.
Disney adult? Oh, you see large gums? Disney adult.
That's honestly what the first
I need
thing
to know
I think.
What other like normal stereotypes you have for people now.
Well, I mean, what race do you want to start with? I'm kidding. I would never be racist because I can't see color. Anyway, it is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. And it's also how you text in. You can join us on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I actually am curious as to what Joe's five biggest questions are for the Houston Texans in this training camp, something we can work through during the show. And guess what? I asked one of the greatest questions in Houston Texans history at a press conference today. Oh, you need proof? Well, the guy who answered it said it was. Stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Want to tell you about my friends at O Athletics, 767 North Shepherd over in the Heights. I can't wait to get back to the gym tomorrow. Look, it's been a couple days. They were closed for a little bit. They lost power like most of us during the storm, and then I was out of town. So I'm excited to get back to the gym because, look, you go on vacation, you need it a little bit. You gotta lose those pounds you're going to put on vacation. You're eating out way too much. It's summertime, so it's a great time still to lose weight as we get to the fall. Everyone wants to be in shape for football season. You've probably missed the boat on summer for the most part, but hey, football season's right around the corner. You want to be in shape so that way you can enjoy your Sundays while you're watching football and eating all that food and drinking beer. So get in shape while you can. Check them out, oathletic.com. Over 100 classes per week that you can take, whether it's weightlifting, agility training, you want to do the Brazilian jiu-jitsu or boxing classes, all of that is there for you. Check them out, oathletic.com, and at 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5.
I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
Rock the Mic is back.
This is gonna be good.
And it's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel.
Really? What, the YouTube?
Whether you host a podcast currently or have always wanted to start one, now's your chance. To enter, send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. That's rockthemic975@gmail.com. Enter solo or with a co-host. The winner will be announced at our live finale on Friday, August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. So send your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe is back. I am Paul. And hey, everybody, you still got time to send in those what would you call them? Auditions, because Rock the Mic is back. We're looking for the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner will receive a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Whether you already have one or you wanted to start one, now's your chance. You can enter by sending a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic, MIC975, at gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975 at gmail.com. Anyone jumping off the screen to this point, Joe? Any brain busters? Any Skip Baylesses out there?
Yeah, we got one that stands out so far. Ruben from 713 Sports.
Oh.
Now, he reached out about it, and he got his in yesterday. So we got a couple in so far. Obviously, people are still... Do you have internet yet?
I do have internet.
Oh, that's good.
I got it back late on, what is today? Tuesday night.
Okay. That's good, at least.
Yeah, it was gone for 8 days.
Okay. That's tough.
You can't put
that's
in a...
real tough, Paul.
You can't put in a request with Xfinity...
I saw that.
...for an outage of over a week. I think it's really funny. I don't think they're going to give me any money back because they have all sorts of loopholes that they can get away, weasel their way out of paying. But so I didn't have it for 8 days. You can't put in a request of more than 7 days as far as internet that you've been lacking.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to call somebody who's probably stationed in the Eastern Hemisphere trying to figure out how to get my money back.
Yeah, because they're just going to blame CenterPoint.
They'll blame most everybody. Likely. Yeah. And then they'll blame me for not reading the fine print. And yes. Honestly, they would be right. I did not read... The fine print.
But well, who reads the fine print of anything? Especially a Wi-Fi contract.
Serial killers. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Good point.
Who was a serial killer.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was. Confirmed.
I haven't read fine print in a really long time. And if ever I have to, I usually text one of my lawyer friends and ask him to do it for me.
Is that what you did after the Astros thing? You sent the fine print of your credential to a lawyer friend?
I did. And it said...
Am I really screwed?
And then when he read back to me that if I die, I'm liable for it, then I realized that I had no leg to stand on after my car got brutally assaulted in the Minute Maid parking lot. Unbelievable. I haven't even been back since. But I will probably head back soon. We will talk about the Astros. Their return to play from the first half to the second half is tomorrow night in Seattle against the Seattle Mariners. I was at Texans training camp earlier today, and I had a question for Nick Caserio. If you listened yesterday, Stephon Gilmore, who won Defensive Player of the Year as a cornerback, said that there are not 64 cornerbacks in the NFL better than him. And I agree with that, specifically on the Houston Texans. Also, there's still a couple of safeties available. Some people are big fans of Justin Simmons, who played with the Denver Broncos. I really like Quandre Diggs, who played for the Seattle Seahawks most recently. Whatever the case, there are veteran defensive backs aplenty in free agency. And I thought to myself, how can I ask Nick Caserio about the idea that they're still evaluating some veterans, especially since they have about $20 million in cap space? This is a question I asked of the Texans general manager earlier this morning.
Seems like these days there are more veteran players who maybe weren't signed with teams at the start of training camp. How do you balance evaluating the players that are out there on the field with some that might be available for you, specifically as defensive back?
No, it's a great question. We're actually looking at that pretty much every day. So there's different groups and categories of players. You probably have some, call it, more established veterans, some of the better players. That's kind of one category of players. Quite frankly, a lot of those players are kind of waiting for something to happen, whether it's an injury or they're kind of waiting for the season to get a little bit closer so they have to go through training camp, which is fine. That's their prerogative. And then you kind of have another cohort of players, maybe some younger players who are more about camp depth and camp competition, some younger players. I mean, as an example, Malik Fisher, you know, a kid we signed there the other day who played in the UFL, so had a spring of football. So it's just kind of managing the roster. So Malik Fisher is a different caliber of player than maybe Ngakoue, just to pick a name, right? Somebody like that. So we look at that every day. Most teams do. You kind of have your sort of short list, emergency list sort of ready to go. But you're not going to be knee-jerk with your response. You want to see how your players kind of develop. And then once you get a little bit closer to the season, there's probably a player here that's not here right now that as we get closer to the opener, maybe he ends up on a team like we did with Amendola, you know, a few years ago, whenever that was. So very fluid. There's no cookie cutter approach on that, but you're certainly aware and cognizant of some of the other players that are out there and it might be available.
He always keeps things close to the vest, and the Texans are very proud of the fact that very few leaks get out of the building. Go back to the draft last year before they took C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. So I listened to all of that, and of course with Nick Caserio, always a lot of words. You got to read between the lines. But I take that as they are definitely still open to bringing in somebody who's actually proven they're good at corner or safety, Joe, the remainder of this offseason. It's just a matter of when, because as Nick said, there's a lot of guys who don't want to go to training camp practices.
I thought that was the most interesting part, because you listen to Nick Caserio, and we all give him a hard time about being a robot and very monotone. Well, if you listen back to it, that's when his like inflection point and everything comes up. He starts giggling a little bit about how players don't want to be in training camp, and that's their prerogative.
Especially
and,
here.
Yes.
Today was nice. This is probably the one nice day we'll have where it's 82 and like a little rainy and breezy. I mean, it sucks. Above all teams in the NFL, it is probably the worst experience for a player on a field in Houston, Texas at 9 o'clock. In the morning.
Yeah, because Dallas is what? They're out in L.A. or in California somewhere.
Oxnard, yeah.
And they're inside. So a lot of these teams who are in warm weather climates, they use the bubble. The Texans don't really use the bubble during training camp that often. So, yeah, why would you want to practice in 95-degree heat? That sucks. No one wants to be out there at that point. That is my first question of Texans training camp.
Hell yeah.
Who complains first about it being too hot
on social media? Okay, number five. Who complains most about that?
Yeah.
I did have that on the board.
Okay, I figured you might.
But you know what? I'm glad you asked that. No one complained about the weather today.
Good.
But there were some people, Joe, that kept on coming over to whoever would listen, and they were showing people the radar of the
trying to move inside
of the storm that was nearby. I think they wanted to move inside, and I was thinking to myself, okay,
soft boy.
Yeah, first off, like, let's practice in the rain. I played football in hail a couple of weeks ago. It was touch football, but whatever. Why can't we watch it in hail?
Yeah.
Are we too soft for that?
Most of the media, yes.
That's sad.
Most of them, yes. That's my first question. But I thought that was the most interesting part of what Caserio said, because just trying to pick between the lines of him, that sounds like a guy who's already had conversations with veteran players that are like, I'm not really coming to training camp this year.
Yeah, training camp sucks. I mean, no one wants to practice. And I used to get annoyed with Brett Favre, who was the absolute worst about this. During the offseason, he would waffle back and forth whether or not he would retire, and then eventually he would come back. And I always thought it was a ruse, not that about actually retiring. I think he just wanted to avoid fines and also not actually show up for practice during the hottest months of the year. What's the point of practicing when you're a Hall of Famer? Do you really need it? I mean, if it's a 16-game schedule, you'll figure it out by the end of the year, you would.
And if you're Stephon Gilmore or Quandre Diggs, or I thought the Yannick Ngakoue was a weird name drop, but that's what Ngakoue did last year. He didn't participate in training camp. He signed with the Bears like right before week one of the preseason, I think it was. It might have been even later than that. So that to me was kind of just it perked my ears of like, okay, maybe they are having conversations with some veteran players. And look, a lot of it's going to depend on Lassiter. Really, and Henderson and Okuda. If those guys have a good training camp against the best wide receiver core in the NFL, then that probably gives them a signal that we don't need to sign a DB. If they're out there getting cooked every single day by Nico and Tank and Diggs and Mechie and Woods, then yeah, you're going to have to sign a corner. Like, that's the one advantage the Texans have, is that if it's a bloodbath every day for the defensive backs, they're going to be able to tell very easily how much help they need.
And for what it's worth today, it's the first day, no one's wearing shoulder pads. You always wonder how hard everybody is going. But there are a couple of moments where I saw Tank Dell with Kamari Lassiter, the second-round pick, lined up on him. And Stroud found Dell on a really pretty and very accurate seam pass, the first pass that he threw in 7-on-7s with Lassiter in coverage. And there was another play that Stroud checked down on where Dell toasted Lassiter, and Stroud never saw him. And of course, they're working things around, and maybe in a game he would have seen him. Depends on, you know, the protection and the pressure and all of that. But I would say from day one, I think that number two cornerback position, all of those guys, they're in an uphill battle, because look who you're going up against in practice. And okay, I mean, iron sharpens iron, but this iron is very, very sharp, and I don't know how good these young players are going to do.
Yeah, like it's great for Tunsil and Howard, that they're going to be going against, you know, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and all those guys. That's really iron sharpens iron. That is two very talented offensive tackles versus a great defensive line just beating each other up every day. That's a great thing for the season. I don't know how much it's really going to benefit these corners besides expose them for the most part. So yeah. That's the one part of what Caserio said, which agreed. Great question. That stood out to me because it's probably the most likely scenario in my mind is that they go out and they sign a cornerback or a safety this offseason, if not both, honestly.
And I would really, of all the guys, look at Stephon Gilmore because Stephon Gilmore, I mean, Nick Caserio's brought him in before with the New England Patriots. So mm-hmm. there's some familiarity there. And Gilmore is right. There are not 64 corners better than him in the NFL. Something we touched about a little bit yesterday. So if you have any thoughts or questions about Texans training camp day one, again, not that much to take away from today. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975 on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston. Up next, what are the keys to Astros success in the second half of the year? You can weigh in on that too. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get yourself an awesome deposit bonus of up to $1,000. Yeah, they're going to match it, and you get to play with it right away. Maybe you're thinking about what to bet on right now. Well, why not the open, as those limey bastards call it? How about that? Why not bet on that? You had a guy rage quit with a back injury. There's somebody that was accusing Tiger Woods of being on pills. I mean, we're off to a really rollicking start in the open. I don't know why they call it that. I think it's lame. It's the British Open. Sorry, you have to win World War II by yourself to actually get it called that. But if you want to bet on the Open Championship, you can do it at mybookie.ag. You can also bet on poker. You can bet on blackjack with live dealers. You can really bet on anything. And that's why their motto is bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Second half of the season for the Astros is tomorrow night in Seattle. I would encourage the Houston Astros to stay far away from downtown. It's dangerous. I get it. It's right by the ballpark.
I know why.
Why is that?
Because that's where the Fenty Wenty happens.
Oh, the Fenty Wenty. It's everywhere. You know, one of my favorite memories of exploring beautiful downtown Seattle, Joe, was one time I decided, you know, I'm a man of the people, to take the light rail back from the airport and then take the bus back to where I lived up on Capitol Hill. And one time, while coming out of the light rail, which actually has a subway station way underground, coming up the escalator from it, and I notice a man who's seemingly sitting on a stone wall in a park across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Me and this man make eye contact for a brief moment. I do have great eyesight. I'm sure that he stared deep into my eyes as I did into his. Then he stood up, and I noticed his pants were down.
Oh.
And at that moment, I realized that he had been locked eye contact with me, dropping a big old steaming turd in the middle of a park in downtown Seattle. I respect...
The story could have come worse.
I respect how this man, Joe, was able to drop it off while making eye contact. I mean, that is the mark of a man who, one, either cares not at all, or two, has done that a time or two in a crowded jail cell with somebody else.
Yeah, he definitely has experience. That wasn't a first-time adventure for this man.
Not a first time.
No, he's a well-experienced, well-traveled dropper of trow throughout this year.
100%. Yeah. Yes. Layer of cable. not of pipe.
Hmm.
It's a pipe layer. That means you're having the business where
the bee's knees.
Right, exactly. Hunter Brown will be on the hill for the Astros tomorrow night. The Mariners have yet to determine their starter for tomorrow's game. So, Joe, in our pre-show conversation, we were going back and forth. Keys to success for the Astros the second half of the year. What do you got?
Well, the first one, I mean, I know, like, healthier, blah, blah, blah. But really, it's Kyle Tucker. Is when he gets back, can he be what he was the first 60 games of the season? Because he was absolutely incredible. So I'm going to say Kyle Tucker is my 1A. But then 1B is Alex Bregman. Those two guys, when they're rolling, we've seen really the last month and a half with the Astros that as Alex Bregman really just turned into the old Alex Bregman, hitting over 300 for over 30 days. If he can be that guy again and carry this offense, they're just so much deeper and so much better when he is that way. So that to me is really the main keys for the Astros, at least from the lineup side of this.
For the last 2 months, Bregman has hit very well. In June, Bregman hit .310 with an OPS of .817 in this past month. .308 through July to this point with an .888 OPS. He has finally awoken, and that's been good. You hope that continues the rest of the way. Of course, guys have their slumps. Bregman, I feel like in a contract year, can't really afford a slump the rest of the way, because if he wants to get a big deal either here or somewhere else, you want to have those numbers looking a little bit less crooked, because even with these last 2 months that he's done pretty well in, I mean, .256, 12 homers, 47 RBIs, middle of the pack in just about every single statistical category, that will be held against you no matter how well you play in June and July.
Yeah, if he plays like how he did in June and July the rest of the season, he's not going to get $30 million. Like he was hoping for and talking about at one point, but he's going to get a massive contract. So he's got a lot to play for himself, for the team. But it really, Dana Brown was right. You know, as much as grief as we've given him, when the one time when he said this offense goes as Alex Bregman goes, I think I was one of the people that pushed back against that, because this team should be good enough to be great without when he's going through a slump. But they've been incredible with him when he's been rolling like this. So Alex Bregman is going to be a huge key to the Astros' success the second half of the season.
Tucker's an interesting one, too, who you brought up a moment ago. I mean, he's healthy enough to sign autographs and take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time we saw him on a baseball diamond. There's some pictures from Will Kunkel of Fox 26, his Twitter, of Tucker signing autographs and taking pictures for fans after playing catch. A timeline of Kyle Tucker, again, called out by Andy Roddick, of all people, last week, a retired tennis player, because Novak Djokovic is going to Wimbledon and playing pretty well, making it to the final with a knee injury. June 3rd, he's day-to-day with the shin contusion. June 7th, he's on the injured list. June 8th, he said he'd hope to be back with minimum time, but he was on crutches. June 15th, he might require a rehab assignment. It's July 18th to this point, jogging, playing catch, hitting off of a tee. I haven't even heard anything about a potential rehab assignment. So you really got to wonder when the hell he's actually going to be back out there.
Yeah, it's really a bizarre situation, because they say he's going to be back in 2 days. And then now he's still out, and there's really no development. This is where it would benefit the Astros. This is not a media wants to know what's going on. You know, the fans too, just be a little more honest. Like if it's broken or there's a fracture, just tell us. But
no, you can't do that. You can't
HIPAA.
Well, there's HIPAA, Joe. I mean, that's what Dusty Baker would tell us.
Yes.
No, the Astros have many enemies. You can't be sharing your weaknesses. What if somebody decides to throw at Kyle Tucker's shin? I mean, I don't know. They might find a way to throw it around whatever shin guard he's going to be wearing when he comes back. I would not want any of that information out there.
Yeah, I mean, so
the Mariners, I mean, Scott Service likes to start a Donnybrook or two, the manager of the Mariners. Scott Service and the Mariners, are they above throwing at Kyle Tucker? I'm just asking the question.
No, they're not. They're definitely not.
Above, I wouldn't know, okay? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just a Big J journalist asking the question, would the Mariners start a fight with the Astros? They have before.
It is apparently it's just the worst bone bruise in the history of baseball. at this point, because they keep saying that they've done imaging, there's nothing serious, but where is he? And I know he told the media on July 13th that he hopes to return soon after the All-Star break. What does soon mean? Is he back by August 1st? Because that would, at this point, might be best case scenario, where you know he's in Sugar Land in the next week and a half, and he's there for 5-6 days, and then he's back by August 1st. That'd be great. It's crazy for him to miss 2 months of the season, but you're playing your best baseball without him, which is just, to me, an anomaly. It's not like the Jose Abreu thing where it just makes them better with him not being on the team. But that's one of the biggest questions. Just like, where is Tucker, and when is he coming back?
Yeah, we'd all like to see him back out there. Desert Stroh on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston says, what really was the diagnosis with Tucker's leg? It had to have been fractured at the very least. We're not doctors. I've never had a bone bruise officially diagnosed. I know that I occasionally, while walking around that night and in the morning when I'm turning off my alarm clock and pressing the snooze button, that sometimes I stumble into things and I have big cuts on my shin, and my mom or parents, when they see me, they're like, what happened? And I'm like, I'm just a klutz in the middle of the night. I'm like, don't hate on me. Don't hate on me. Chalupa Batman asks on Twitch, why would the Astros be honest with y'all and all the dog bleep that they have heard? Because we asked nicely. Ever heard of that, Chalupa Batman? I don't think so.
So Chalupa Batman, Tripbone Dana, whichever like moniker you're going under right now. You think that because
the
fans are mean to the Astros on Twitter, they're not being honest?
I think they're talking about the liberal media. People like you, Joe.
So it's our fault.
Not me. I'm not liberal media.
It's my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
It's all your you're demanding honesty of them right now.
I just would like Kyle Tucker to be playing. I just don't believe them that this is like the Justin Verlander thing too.
Do you think he has leg cancer?
No. But Christian Javier had a neck injury and now it's Tommy John.
I mean, it could be. I'm just asking the question.
Don't question the state.
Yeah, you never know. Austin. I mean, hey, like maybe they found something. They're just not telling us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back eventually. Might be 2025, but you never know. Mm-hmm. He'll be back for the playoffs.
I mean, listen, if he's back by 2025, he'll have a couple of months left before his contract expires and he's on somewhere else. That would be a bummer if it's just something serious and he comes back. He's on a peg leg. Why haven't there been any baseball players with one leg? You know?
It's a good question.
A disability.
It's probably the one sport you could play with a peg leg. I don't think you could really do basketball.
I mean,
football would be impossible.
I don't think you'd be able to play baseball with a peg leg.
Could you be a DH?
No, I think the big problem is actually hitting if you were missing one of your legs. Right? Because it's either your back foot, where all the power is coming from, or it's your front foot, where you're stepping forward. So if you're we're working it out.
I think it'd have to be your front foot for sure. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, because like, you could still lift it and plant it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've seen people run in the Olympics with it.
That's true.
Well, he had no legs.
Yeah, Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah, so it can't be impossible.
It can't be impossible.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you're not, you know, as bad of a person as that guy.
But listen, he just heard somebody in his bathroom, and he did what any man would do, which is shoot at it with the gun a lot.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because people always break into other people's bathrooms. A question, and I think everyone's asking it right now, especially with the way that, you know, we're talking about the uncertainty about Kyle Tucker. You know, we once saw, not too long ago, you know, people forget about this, but Ronnie Lott, he cut off his pinky finger to play a little game that we like to call football in the playoffs. Kyle Tucker, I mean, with the Astros right now in second place, they're basically in the playoffs. Is Kyle Tucker willing to sacrifice, you know, a full leg to get back out on the field? I mean, I don't know. You got to question his commitment to the Astros.
I mean, Kyle Tucker, if it meant the Astros won the World Series, would he sacrifice his leg?
Ooh, I mean, if it guaranteed that, I don't know if he would. Like, the problem is they've already won one. You know, if he had never
won one. What if he got a $300 million contract with it?
He is married.
Just saying.
That's the big tricky thing. I will admit, you know.
Sometimes you do what the wife wants.
I I don't want to sound like somebody who's an ableist or anything like that, but occasionally I've been on the apps, and there is a person, I don't know if this is in Seattle or in Houston, but it's a woman, and she had just one leg. She's really cute. She's really attractive, but I couldn't get over the one leg.
You couldn't do it?
I'm sorry. I couldn't get over it. No, I mean, it seemed like she had a cool personality and everything, too.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. It's just
turn the lights off.
I'm able. Turn the lights off. Jesus, Joe. It's Kalan and George. Disney Joe coming back. Turn the lights off. You're a monster, Joe. And Kyle Tucker would be a monster without it. Like, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's not nice. But Kyle Tucker clearly not willing to sacrifice his leg for the Houston Astros.
That's okay. I understand, Kyle.
We determined that during just one of the more riveting and unidiotic conversations that we've ever had, talking about a little game that we like to call baseball and a little game that we like to call life. You know what my key for the Astros' success in the second half of the year is, Joe? It's to win more games than lose.
And win more games than the Mariners.
Yeah, that would help. Actually, you need to win like at least one to two more games than the Mariners. Probably two, because the Mariners have done very well against you the first half of the year.
It's true. Win two more games than the Mariners.
Two more games than the Mariners. The most riveting sports analysis you can get. We got Joe George back. It is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe missed a lot because just like many Houston area politicians, he just fled town during the hurricane. You know? C.J. Stroud's out there, like, having a catch with kids and picking up branches. Mm-hmm. And Steven Nelson stopped calling D'Amico Ryans the milk dud man so that he could go out and do the same thing. And Joe, skipping town. But he's got some takes, okay? He's got some blue takes right now. He's gonna get it out all over me next. It's Golan and George. Stick around.
I want to tell you guys about my friends at OA Athletic again today. 767 North Shepherd is where you find them over in the Heights. You can check out all the classes they offer throughout the week. They start early in the morning. They take a break during the midday, and then they pick back up around 4:30. So that way you get out of work, you can go right to the gym, and then go home, spend time with your family, get your dinner on, whatever you're going to do for the rest of the day. You can be done with the gym however you want with your schedule. You can, like I said, early in the morning, mid-afternoon, late at night. It's a great place to go. Everything you want, they can have, from the recovery, like I said, to the classes, the personal trainer. I can't recommend working with Cam. That's who I work with on a weekly basis. So if you're looking for a personal trainer, O Athletic and Cam is the guy you should ask for. It's a great gym. My favorite amenity that they have, I love the endless pool. I like to use that pretty often, get a little workout, a little swim workout, change it up occasionally. And that's my other favorite part about O Athletic, is that you can change your workout to really whatever you want to do on that day. They've got this open field, so if you want to try to push some sleds or flip some tires and be like J.J. Watt, you can do that. You can use the machines, the free weights. It's all there for you. Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Golan and George.
All right, Joe's been gone for 300 days. Incredible. Woo. The number just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. I got a screenshot of a text message yesterday to the text line.
Uh-oh.
And someone they said, Joe's middle management? Y'all are screwed. I said, damn. Come on, guys. I know I can't do math, but...
Well, if you can't do math and you're in middle management, would we be in good shape?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
My job doesn't really require math.
I'm just asking a question.
Yeah.
Stay out of accounting.
Yeah. I'm not accounting. I just approve vacation days.
Okay. Well, I mean, so does that mean I could theoretically take more vacation days than I actually have?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. I might pull a Joe in the near future. Maybe it's going to be next month. All right, Joe. Let's start off. On Monday, we had a home run derby national anthem fiasco featuring Ingrid Andress.
Yeah. That was it was the worst one ever. It was the worst one ever. It was so bad. I was on my flight. And that's what I was listening to. And I just started cackling on the airplane.
She did put effort into it. And unlike Roseanne. Roseanne put no effort into it. And who decided to give it to Roseanne?
Yeah.
And Carl Lewis as well, our beloved Coug. I mean, he's a track star. He's not a singer by trade. Do you believe that she was drunk?
No, because she didn't sound drunk. Like, I didn't hear slurring. I went back and listened to it after she put out the statement. I was like, I don't hear drunkness.
She's supposed to have a single released next week called Colorado.
Better not do that.
Actually, Joe, I think she should because do you know what was going to get you more attention than as a rando country singer singing the Home Run Derby National Anthem? Is if you get drunk at the Home Run Derby National Anthem, you go to rehab, more people are going to be interested in your release, and then they're going to be interested in your comeback. So she's playing chess while we are all playing checkers, buying into her apology for being intoxicated. Some might say.
You don't think the week gap is too quick for a comeback, though?
Well,
push it to like a month.
She already announced the release of it.
That's
so
true.
I think, no, you got to strike while the iron's hot. You know, Hawk to a Girl did.
It's true.
She got Andrus does.
She made a lot of money for, I don't know. I don't understand Hawk to a Girl anymore.
What? Just because she cares?
I just
put a little extra effort into a little elbow grease.
She's not funny. She put out some video. I'm like, this is the most boring thing ever. She's going to move to LA.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I
think the rehab's also just like the new like excuse for everything.
Good to know. Just talk about the vacation days. Maybe I'll go to rehab. Hawaii. I mean, rehab. Joe did not like the All-Star Game jerseys. Why is that, Joe?
They looked so bad.
Did you not like that it was a 2 on the Tom Herman P scale?
I saw that tweet.
I liked that there was some P out there, you know?
Like the National League was okay.
Moises Alou would have liked it. R. Kelly would have liked it. Uh-huh. Yeah, they didn't look good. I don't understand what they're trying to go for. Like, who's going to buy these?
I think that's what I don't get. Like the whole point of going away from just wearing your own jerseys is to sell merchandise, and that's not something I think a lot of people want to buy. They did the Brown jerseys a couple years ago in San Diego. That was a weird choice.
But see, the Padres, at the very least, their colors primarily are gold and brown.
Yeah.
The Rangers' colors are supposed to be red and blue, and they didn't even really use red and blue. It was like a dark burgundy and a mottled yellowish white.
Yeah, it was weird choice.
Ugly.
And then the derby itself, I think I liked the new rules. But then listening to the broadcast, they didn't know the new rules.
Yeah,
it was super confusing when they went to these extra outs, but they could get a fourth out if it went a certain amount of distance again. But they didn't know it, so they were like, oh, we just learned this. I'm like, how do you not know the rules?
They had on MLB.com a 8-9 paragraph explanation of the new rules, and I said, like, I ain't gonna read all that, but thoughts and prayers, or I'm happy for you. You know, I didn't read it. I didn't watch it. I don't like it the new way. I'd rather see one home run at a time. The 10 ball thing was fine. I don't know why we got away from it.
I don't either. It's not an enjoyable watch anymore. And somehow the broadcast is so bad it makes me miss Chris Berman.
Ooh.
Back.
Well, you're saying that like it was bad.
Didn't really love it towards the end.
Why not?
I just thought the bit got tired after a while.
I didn't think he said back enough, honestly.
You needed more of it?
I wanted more back.
Yeah, we wanted more back.
Lance McCullers. More setbacks.
Yeah, I just feel bad for him now.
You finally feel bad for him.
I just feel bad for him. It sucks.
Have you ever been annoyed by Lance McCullers and all that he says while he's not playing?
At times, yes.
Wow. Not even thankful for 2017. Unbelievable.
But yeah, I just feel bad for him at this point because now they're talking about bullpen finally saying maybe he could be back for the bullpen.
He seemed open to it when he talked about Keith Law talked about that with the Killer Bees a couple of years ago. I remember he liked the tweet that we posted about it.
Yeah, it's at this point just get him back on the field in some capacity. Think about, sorry guys, Kerry Wood, Ryan Dempster. You also have guys like Aroldis Chapman who were starters and then became bullpen guys, and it lengthened their careers or it made their careers. I just feel bad for him because he can't even get close enough to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
Like just another setback, yeah. And another evaluation from another doctor. Like, it doesn't even feel like he's getting close to getting back on the field.
In case Joe missed it, continues. Joe has been out for a hot minute. Reed Sheppard, thoughts?
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's been really good. As a passer, I've been most impressed, but he's doing some very impressive things, dribbling, and he is active enough defensively, though I would say a lot of the steals that he's getting are the byproduct of NBA Summer League teams looking like they're on rookie mode in NBA 2K.
Yeah, it's not great basketball, for sure, but because he's running circles around them so much, it just shows how much more NBA ready he is. And when you look at guys who have won this award in the past, there actually is a pretty good success rate from the guys who are Summer League MVPs. Cam Whitmore, you know, Josh Hart has become a very good player. Alonzo Ball was a good player, but Damian Lillard is in Summer League MVP. John Wall, Blake Griffin. Like, there are good basketball players that stood out during the Summer League. So it's highly encouraging. You know, these French dudes who just suck. They're so bad. They're worse than Bronny. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Risache, I think, has had some glimpses of looking like he belongs, but Alex Sarr is coming off an unbelievable, like, 0 for the field, 0 for 15 from the field, 0 for 2 from the free throw line, 0 point performance.
Yeah, Reece Shepard is just, at least he's not those guys. But he's been pretty good, and the Bronny story is just, it's exhausting.
Right. Well, is it exhausting? But you're bringing it up on the air, Joe.
I know, but, like, they keep showing, like, ESPN tweeted out, oh, look at this layup from Bronny.
They have been doing push notifications for it. I think it's really funny that Jaylen Brown, while with Angel Reese and his girlfriend, whose name I am too intimidated to pronounce, he said something to the degree of where people believed that he said this, like, I don't think Bronny can play in this league.
Yeah.
And he even quote tweeted it and basically confirmed it and said, like, shout out to LeBron for having his son in the league.
Yeah, he did say, I didn't say that.
He didn't say I didn't say that. Look, everyone agrees. Like, he shouldn't be in the league. And some people who are the biggest LeBron stans are just going to continue to put an unfair amount of pressure on him to live up to extremely lofty standards that he's never going to meet.
Yeah, it's LeBron's fault, though. When he put that tweet out that Bronny could play in the league, mm-hmm. and now he's airballing threes left and right.
Oof.
It's a tough look. Like, he's not even touching the rim on a lot of his threes. I also feel bad for him. It's not his fault that he's in this position. He shouldn't be. He should be at a mid-major and not in the summer league, getting embarrassed.
Yeah, he should be St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, it's tough.
Quinnipiac.
But
Houston Baptist.
Did I miss anything else? Donald Trump got shot.
Yeah, he did.
That was interesting. I was surprised by all the people that were, like, celebrating it. I thought that was gross.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it kind of grossed me out on social media, even if you don't like the guy.
I gotta say, just the entire social media discourse after that took place.
Yeah.
Especially when I didn't have any internet and the only app on my phone was Twitter. I regret getting sucked into it the way that I did.
I was kind of curious, like, theories. What you did while you had no internet.
Question. Watch DVDs. I watched all of 24 season 1.
That's good you still have DVDs, though.
Some of them don't work anymore. My DVD player doesn't really work all the time either. I watched The Town. I watched...
You and Joe Mazzulla?
Yeah, I did. I tried to watch Inception, but the DVD was scratched. And,
that sucks.
Yeah, it happens.
Did you get very far? Like, or was it scratched right away?
It was scratched right away.
Okay, well, that's good.
And then it got stuck in my DVD player, and then I had to, like,
that's not good.
An hour and a half trying to get the DVD out.
You still have a DVD player?
So Xbox One. Okay, 2014.
Just making sure.
Yeah, I had to, like, get a paper clip and you just jam it in there.
You just get it out.
Oh, yeah. In and out, in and out. Anyway, hey! It is Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Houston Texans opened up training camp today. If you want to weigh in, too, on what the Astros need to do to be successful the second half of the year, you can. 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube at ESPN Houston. Up next, we finally have a zagger. Someone finally in Houston had the balls to say, I'm not so sure about these Houston Texans. You will hear from him next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.